This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 30th day of July, 2021, we're going to be taking a look at some of the events leading up to the trade deadline. I'm recording this before we've learned everything, and tell you why one division leader owes a big fruit basket to one of their rivals. This show is available in the free and easy to use Odyssey app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. If you have a smart device in your home or in your car, be sure to tell it to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. And hey, Locked On Yankees with Stacey Gutsoulias, who was my guest the other day. We're at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And today I have a little bit of an announcement. Check us out at Locked On Live /MLB or Locked On MLB on YouTube or at Locked On Network on Twitter, where I'm going to be participating along with Ryan Finkelstein, Jeff Carr, Paul Holden, and Millard Thomas for the MLB Trade Deadline Show, which begins at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, which is noon Pacific Daylight Time. And we're going to be talking about the trades that have happened and the trades that may happen and sometimes, more importantly, the trades that didn't happen. So that should be a lot of fun that's happening today. I'm recording this part of the show on Thursday afternoon before we know everything that's happened. So we're going to be covering in this episode the moments leading up to the trade deadline show. Hey, as of right now, there are a couple of pieces of news. The Brewers made the deal for Eduardo Escobar to give them a lot of depth in their infield. And they've acquired Adamas earlier. They've brought in Eduardo Escobar now. They brought in Rowdy Tellez. They've basically been revamping their entire infield. They're going to have a lot of depth and a lot of versatility in that infield as the Brewers are basically, well, trying to tweak and find the right combination to move forward and go deep in this year's postseason. A couple other moves that were made. Yimi Garcia was traded to the Astros, who earlier picked up Graveman from the Mariners. So the Astros are giving their bullpen a facelift. And that was probably their biggest Achilles heel because they can pitch and they can hit. And some of these moves may have basically have toned up their bullpen and made them a really strong team going into October. The Reds are a strange team right now in that they are pretty far back of a playoff spot. They're not going to catch Milwaukee, and they're significantly behind San Diego. But they have acquired Sessa. They have acquired Givens. They're trying to make their bullpen better. I like this move because if one of those teams ahead of them has an absolutely disastrous last two-thirds of the season, they will have taken advantage of it. But it also may improve the culture of the team that, hey, we're going to go for it. We're going to try to have at least a winning season and force the other teams to play well. A lot of times trades don't take place in vacuums. We all thought Eduardo Escobar was a perfect fit for the Chicago White Sox to fill in at second base. And as it turned out, he probably would have been, but the Brewers beat him to the punch. And so the White Sox aren't going to walk away empty-handed. They picked up Cesar Hernandez from the Cleveland Indians. Interesting, the Indians are the closest team to the White Sox for contention. So basically this move represents the surrender of the Cleveland Indians to the Chicago White Sox. And the White Sox also picked up Tapera from the Cubbies. And so they've improved their infield and they have improved their bullpen. The Blue Jays have also improved their bullpen by acquiring Brad Hand from the Washington Nats. And yesterday's podcast, we talked all about the Joey Gallo trade. Well, the Mets haven't made the big move yet. There's tons and tons of rumors going on right now that Max Scherzer could be heading to the San Diego Padres. But as it stands right now, the Mets are kind of the Mr. Magoo of division leaders right now, in that they're just walking almost oblivious, and things that should be destroying them or killing them are just swinging right past their heads. And the Mets would not be in first place in any other division in baseball. They have a 535 winning percentage. Okay. And that would be, basically they'd be in a virtual tie for third place in the AL West. They'd be well behind the White Sox in the Central. They would be kind of neck and neck with the Yankees. They're only one game ahead of the Yankees in the loss column. As Met fans have been crowing as if they are just lapping the Yankees. They're really not. The Mets would be well behind Milwaukee, and they would not even be scratching the surface of San Francisco or Los Angeles in the West. And even with the injuries to DeGrom, even with some of the gaping holes that they've had, and today losing to Atlanta, they still have, I don't want to say a comfortable lead, but nobody is really on the verge of overtaking them. And the big reason for that is no other teams above 500. And I'm sorry, I know that that in the grand scheme doesn't mean that much, except the fact that we're just about at the two-third mark of the season. We're about two-thirds of the way through. And the Mets are the only team in the NL East to have their nose above 500. And today, the Washington Nationals absolutely made right now the Nationals are beating the Phillies 7-4. It looks like they're going to hold on to that one. And the Nats wound up beating the Phillies in what is probably Max Scherzer's final game as a member of the Phillies, where he went six innings. It was a seven-inning game. And they had Zimmerman pinch hit for him in that seventh inning where they wound up taking the lead. And they beat Wheeler. Okay. Now, the Nats could make it so that the Mets lost today. They were doubled up by the Atlanta Braves. Talk about a underachieving team, being the Atlanta Braves. But the Nats are going to make sure the Mets gain ground on the day where they lost to one of their chief rivals because of the doubleheader sweep. And the Phillies are going to look back at this year if they don't make it, and boy, it sure looks like it. And you have a year where Segura is batting over 300 with an OPS over 800 in the leadoff spot. People talk about Harper as if he's been a bust. He has an OPS of 943. And Zach Wheeler is probably going to be the National League Cy Young Award winner because of the injuries to Jacob DeGrom, in a year where neither the Braves nor the Nationals can get their nose above water, and Jacob DeGrom has missed significant time due to injury, and the Phillies can't even get above 500, and the Nats, who are selling off their pieces, are helping the Mets cling to that final spot at the top. If they win the division, they owe a big fruit basket to the Washington Nationals for helping keep the Phillies, who should be taking advantage of this left, and did I mention left and right? And they owe them something. Maybe it's a flower arrangement. Maybe it's a fruit basket. Maybe they owe them some Built Bars. Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars ever. Do you want to make Built Bars so delicious? They've got so many flavors, they got something for everybody. Coconut, cherry barcia, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate, or my personal favorite, the raspberry. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box. Hey, maybe that's what the Mets should do for the Nationals. Get them a mix box where they get two of each of the nine flavors. But they're not just great tasting, they're healthy too. 718 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180. 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carb. Order today, get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry, whatever you want. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. I think that's pretty cool. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15, you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, there's a real danger when you try to do a show like I'm doing today, which is you're recording it a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the afternoon, a little bit in the evening. And when I did the first part of my recording, the Nationals were winning, I believe it was 8-0 or 7-0. It was 7-0 after three innings, after winning the first game of the doubleheader. And so I just was under the assumption that the Washington Nationals, even after trading away Brad Hand, could hold the Phillies in a 7-inning game where they were up 7-0 after three innings. I thought, that's a win right there. That's when I was talking about how the Mets owe the Nationals a little something. Little did I know that the Philadelphia Phillies were going to go on an absolute rampage. They were going to score three runs in the bottom of the seventh. Remember, it's a doubleheader. So they were down to their last outs, and Realmuto, who else got that? Alex Bohm and McCutchen. Oh, McCutchen was in the fifth. And they poured ahead. Zimmerman got an RBI to give the Nationals the lead. And then Brad Miller of Philadelphia hit a grand slam, a walk-off grand slam, to give Philadelphia the win. So you'll forgive me that I thought a 7-0 lead in a short 7-inning game was going to be enough. How silly of me to make such an assumption. So the Nats and the Phillies split that doubleheader, as it were. There was a weird games in terms of final scores. I mentioned the Rays obliterated the Yankees 14-0. Kansas City shut out the White Sox 5-0. And Rodon, who's had a fine year, had a rare bad start. The depleted Cubs lost to the Reds 7-4. The Giants shut out the Dodgers. Okay. The season can really be split into three parts, and that is opening day until roughly Memorial Day. That's the first third of the season. Then you have Memorial Day to right around now, the trade deadline. And then you have the final third of the season, which is after the trade deadline to the beginning of the postseason. I think it's safe to say we can stop asking if the San Francisco Giants are for real. They beat Los Angeles again. They have the best record in baseball. They have a 3-game lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're playing 627 baseball. Now, in case you're wondering what 627 baseball translates to over 162 games, that's winning 101 ball games. So even if they slow down their pace, which we've seen no evidence that they're going to, and they've played very, very well head-to-head against Los Angeles, thank you very much. Even if they slow down, they're going to be in the high 90s with their wins. And they shut out LA again today. Now, there's rumors going around. The first part, I think I mentioned Scherzer looked like he was going to San Diego. Now it looks like he's going to LA, which means he's guaranteed to go to San Francisco. Another shutout today. The Brewers shut out the Pirates 12-0. I mean, that's men versus boys right there. And very, very good for the Brewers run differential. And the Blue Jays just torched Rodriguez and the Red Sox 13-1. And the Blue Jays got Vladdy Guerrero, got a home run. Marcus Semien doubled twice. Teoscar Hernandez was basically the offensive star, going 3-for-5 with 3 runs batted in. And Hyunjin Ryu was just terrific. He led up 2 hits over 6 shutout innings. And they had a big, huge lead, so they went to the bullpen and didn't wear him down. Ryu only threw 87 pitches. He probably could have pitched into the 7th or the 8th, but why do that when it's 13-1? And, as I'm recording this right now, Oakland has a 4-0 lead over the Angels, and the Padres are shutting out the Rockies 1-0, which means nothing. Everything is going to slip, slide away there. So we're taking a look as we're heading into the trade deadline, which is happening on the calendar day that you're listening to this particular episode. And it looks like the Red Sox have the best record in the AL East. The Astros have the best record in the American League West, and actually right now have the best record in the American League. The White Sox, who have been on a little bit of a slump, dropping 6 of their last 10, including their last two games. They lost a frustrating game to Kansas City the other day where they were in the ninth inning with a lead, and they blew it, and then they allowed the Royals to rally in the 10th. But the White Sox still have an 8-game lead over Cleveland, who are trading away their players. Let's hope everything's okay with Terry Francona, who is once again taking a leave of absence for his health. Terry Francona owes nothing to baseball. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame as a manager. If he's having health issues, I really, really hope he solves those. If the A's wind up winning this, they could build up a 2.5-game lead over Seattle and a 3.5-game lead over the Yankees. And in the National League, as it looks like, the Reds are the only team that has a realistic shot of crashing the party. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I keep track of the days that teams stay in a playoff spot from Memorial Day through the end of the year. I can't count it in April and May. It's too early in the season. But after Memorial Day, I call it the summer score. When you wake up in the morning, you check the standings, and you see your team is in a playoff spot starting on Memorial Day, you feel like you're having a summer. Oh, we have a good team. We're in a playoff spot now. And it's, you know, it's exciting in June. It picks up steam in July. July is worth more. It gets a lot of steam when you get to August. And by the time you get to September, you're thinking we may have ourselves in October. Well, the 10 teams that are the playoff teams, the Red Sox, the White Sox, the Astros, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Oakland A's, the San Francisco Giants, the New York Mets, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the San Diego Padres have remained unchanged. It's been those exact 10 teams. Those exact 10 teams have been the playoff teams through the entire month of July. Nobody, not one team, has broken that number of 10. And in fact, the last time a team other than those 10 woke up even in a wild card spot or any point of a postseason were the Cubs. The Cubs, who were trading away their players on June 25th, were a playoff team, okay? So since June 25th, it's been the exact same 5 teams for more than a month. And in the American League, the last time there was any movement was, say it with me, the Indians. The Indians, who are also trading away their players on June 6th. So you have almost the entire month of June and the entire month of July where you have the same 5 teams every single day are the 5 playoff teams. And the only team that has even an outside chance in the National League penetrating that are the Reds, who have decided to fortify their bullpen, cross their fingers that the Padres have issues with their starting rotation that would fall apart and they could potentially upset the Padres and leapfrog their way into that. Nobody else, not the Phillies, not the Cardinals, not the Braves, not the Cubs who are selling, not the Nationals who are selling. So the Reds are your lone hope to spark anything in the National League race. So when you ask why are they making all these trades, it's because they're the only team that could make any sort of penetration through that. Now in the American League, the Yankees, the Mariners, and the Blue Jays are within striking distance. Maybe the Angels, if they have a spectacular August. I don't see that happening. The Indians are selling, and the Tigers are just trying to improve going into next year. So in the next segment, we're going to just take a quick peek at some of the stuff we already know about the trade deadline before tomorrow we have the trade deadline special. But before that, I'm going to tell you This episode is brought to you in part by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing, and you've got the trade deadline staring us in the face. You can track all the action on Bet Online. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including baseball, basketball, hockey, UFC, MMA. Before the next pitch or before the next trade, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On. This is Christmas morning for MLB trade rumors. Now, there's the headline, which was posted at 3:58 Central Time. So that must have been 1:58 here in Pasadena. It says Padres close to acquiring Max Scherzer. That was a headline today. Now, as of this recording, the trade of Max Scherzer is not final, and he could still very well wind up in San Diego or in Boston for that matter. But we do know a couple of things right here and also right now. And by the time this posts, this may all be obsolete. Now, it looks like Daniel Hudson might be heading over from the Nationals. So the Nats are definitely dumping everything that isn't nailed down. Kyle Schwarber was sent from the Nats to the Red Sox. I find this to be an interesting move. Schwarber is still on the disabled list, but when he was healthy this year, he was hitting up a storm. He has hit 25 home runs in just 72 games with a 910 OPS. Now, he is a left fielder. I don't know why he can't catch. In fact, this is a question I have to ask. You have two players who are basically, ostensibly DHs who are going to be on this Red Sox team, who hit the snot out of the ball in J.D. Martinez, who is obviously a more complete hitter than Schwarber. And now you have Schwarber. And Schwarber is basically there to be a masher. One of them is going to be the DH. Okay. One of them is going to DH. It's going to be either JD or it's going to be Schwarber. Why can't one of them play first? Seriously, why can't one of them learn how to put on that glove? I know. We've all seen the scene in Moneyball where Scott Hatterberg has to learn how to play first base. I grew up watching lousy defensive first baseman. Okay? Can't someone sit down and say JD Martinez or Kyle Schwarber, put the GD first baseman glove on, stand over at first base, and be that slow-footed, terrible defensive first baseman that I grew up loving and idolizing. Okay? We've seen those players. Not everyone's going to be Keith Hernandez or even Doug Minkiewicz or John Olerud at first base defensively. Sometimes that's where you're stuck, a big plodding player. That's where you put players before the advent of the DH when you had, oh, what are we going to do with a slugger? Ah, stick him over at first base. Shove him over at first base. Shove one of these guys at first base. I'd like to see both Schwarber and Martinez in the lineup. I'd rather not see them in the outfield. I think it's harder to hide someone in the outfield. Yeah, you can have that slow-footed, bad defensive left fielder, but I'd rather have them at first. Now, look, the main reason he's there is to hit the what out of the ball, but only one of them could be the DH, and they both have to be in the lineup all the time. This is an interesting move. It cost the Red Sox a pitching prospect named Aldo Ramirez, who was playing for Salem and was pitching pretty well in Salem. He had pitched in Lowell as well. And it also cost him Brandon Workman, the two-time World Series champion for the Red Sox, who returned to the Sox this year and was designated for assignment to make room for Kyle Schwarber. And someone will inevitably gobble up Brandon Workman. Some of the other moves that happened, though, I think the single most surprising move, well, there are two moves right now that really surprised me, okay? The first one was Anthony Rizzo being traded from the Cubs to the Yankees. The reason why I was surprised by that was I would have bet a lot of money that Rizzo was going to Boston. I thought he was a perfect fit in Boston, experienced first baseman, former Red Sox farmhand. He would fit right in at first to be able to displace this sort of revolving door of first baseman they've had over there, has World Series experience. I just thought everything worked out well there. I didn't think the Yankees needed to acquire another hitter, especially after acquiring Joey Gallo from Texas. And DJ LeMahieu seemed to be their first baseman. And they had a set infield that included Urshela, Gleyber Torres, Rougned Odor, and DJ LeMahieu. So maybe what this does is that puts Odor back as a utility infielder and some depth. And they'll play DJ LeMahieu at second base and start Rizzo, I guess. There's no arguing that the Yankees have a lot more balance in their lineup right now. But with two new left-handed bats, it just strikes me as a little bit odd that this is what happened and this is the route that they took, especially when they still very clearly need to bring in some more pitching depth and strength. It looks like Danny Duffy has been sent from Kansas City to Los Angeles. The other strange move is the Rays are trading away Diego Castillo, which in one sense I get, because there's one thing that the Tampa Bay Rays have, and that is a lot of bullpen depth. You know, they have Diego Castillo, who leads the team in saves, but you have Andrew Kittredge, you have Pete Fairbanks, you have several other, you have, when he's back, J.P. Fireweisen, or however you pronounce, I can't pronounce his name. There's a lot of relievers they have in there, but that depth they have, I thought, was their strength. And I thought it was strange that a team that has images of a World Series championship dance in their head would send their closer to the Seattle Mariners. Now, the Mariners are sending a pitcher by the name of JT Chagua, who has pitched well for them. So essentially, they've traded one pretty good reliever for a very good reliever. And they're also sending Austin Shenton, who is a young third baseman who is currently hitting very well in Double A, which means he's going to come up and become an American League All-Star. But it was thing that kind of struck me as strange about this whole trade was that the Mariners went out of their way to acquire Diego Castillo to be their closer shortly, like just days after trading away Kendall Graveman, who had been their closer and was having a wonderful season. He had a sub-1 ERA, struck out 34 batters in 33 innings, only walked 8, picked up 10 saves. I don't really care that much about the saves or the win-loss, but he does have a good save win-loss record if you're into that. And so he's gone so they can have Diego Castillo in. It just seems like they're playing musical chairs as opposed to building up a bullpen. Everyone's just shifting things around. Now, when the dust settles, and this is one of the reasons why looking at these trades right now, it's not always clear what's happening. And whenever the Rays make a deal like that, you always got to look around and go like, did they just fleece someone? Did they just fleece someone? I'll tell you what's going to happen. All this is going to happen. All these trades are going to float around. And Doug Workman of the Red Sox got DFA'd. He's going to wind up in Tampa and be the pitcher on the mound when the Rays win the World Series. That's just, that's how the Rays operate. So the Mariners are pushing peas around a plate and wound up trading away a good reliever. They got back a good reliever. They traded away an infielder and they wound up getting another infielder from Houston, Abraham Toro. So I don't know. I don't know what's happening. Maybe they're doing the right thing. I can't figure it out. I doubt you can figure it out either. They brought in Abraham Toro, Diego Castillo, and maybe it will all make sense in the end. I'm recording this right now, and there is still no final word that is made on what is happening with Max Scherzer. All I know is that it has all but been nailed down that he is going to San Diego at one point during the day, and that now it looks like he's going to Los Angeles in a deal that might include Trey Turner and also may include the Dodgers' two best prospects heading over to Washington. And not sure what is actually happening at this point. We're going to see as the smoke settles. And tomorrow, I'm going to have a lot of fun being involved in the live trade deadline spectacular that's going to be part of the Locked On MLB YouTube channel. So go to Locked On MLB on YouTube, or check us out Locked On Live / MLB on Facebook, or go to Twitter and go to Locked On Network. And Jeff Carr from Locked On Reds is going to host it. Ryan Finkelstein of Locked On Mets will be there. Paul Holden of Locked On Rockies will be there. Millard Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks, I'll be there. It's going to be going on between 3 and 5 p.m. Eastern time. If you're here on the West Coast, that's noon to 3 East Pacific Daylight Time. And the other ones there, you're smart. You know what they are. You know where you are. So it should be a lot of fun to try to make sense of it all, because you got the sense there's going to be a few more big blockbusters coming through. Very strange that the Mets haven't made a blockbuster yet. And Chris Bryant is still out there. Javier Baez is still out there. John Lester is still out there. There's a bunch of players like Jose Berríos of the Minnesota Twins are still out there. There's a lot of players out there who could basically push the needle over who's going to go far this October. So use the free and easy to use Odyssey app or whatever platforms you have for your podcast to listen to Locked On MLB. This has been Locked On MLB for the 30th day of July, 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. The MLB trade deadline is approaching, and Locked On MLB YouTube channel will be streaming the Hot Stove Live, 2 hours of MLB trade analysis from our Locked On lineup, including yours truly and local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB on YouTube and tune in on July 30th, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern.